Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
When I get on a plane, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
Juan feels the way he feels. That is not for me to pass judgment on. His feelings that he expressed on Fox News are really between him and his psychiatrist or his publicist or take your pick.
Right now, the whole world is watching Crystal Cathedral, and that, again, gives us an opportunity to show that God is a big, mighty, provisional God.
I'm reminded of great prophet Jeremiah, who did not have a Crystal Cathedral. He did not have much of a following. People didn't like him, but yet he was one of the Lord's great servants of the Word.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
You've heard it. I've heard it. I remember it must have been maybe my senior year in high school. I attended a Lutheran high school in Dallas, a fledgling Lutheran high school. And we had religion class or doctrine class, I think is what they called it. One of the books that we were studying there was, I think it was called Everyone a Minister. And I was a good student of that book at the time, at least. I believed what it said, that if you're a Christian, you're also a minister, and there's no real distinction between lay people and pastors. And if there is a distinction between those two, it is purely one of convenience, a contrivance that we use just to kind of sort out who's who in the congregation. No real biblical warrant for calling someone pastor any more than calling someone else pastor. So everybody became a minister at least, and perhaps a pastor at best. And nowadays we hear every member a minister. Is it true? Does the Bible teach such a thing? We're going to talk about lay ministry live this Wednesday, October the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Heath Curtis will be with us for the entire first hour of this Wednesday afternoon's program. Then in the second hour, we'll review a sermon preached by Pastor Bill Swirla, one of our listeners' favorite guests, a Reformation sermon during this Reformation week. And we'll spend about a half hour doing that. Then we'll round off today's program talking with Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason. We'll respond to some arguments made by scholar Bart Ehrman, author of the book Misquoting Jesus, about the historical reliability of the New Testament. No surprises here. Dr. Ehrman says it is not historically reliable. He has all sorts of very scholarly sounding reasons for making that case, and we'll see if any of them hold water with Greg Kokel. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at Issues ETC, or if you'd like, leave us a question or a comment on the subject of lay ministry for Pastor Heath Curtis at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Heath Curtis is a regular guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's online editor of the Gottesdienst Journal. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
How do you respond to the contention, every member a minister or everyone a minister when it comes to the church?
I just tell them that then they can call somebody else at 2 o'clock in the morning the next time Grandma Schickelgruber has a heart attack because I'm off the hook. If everybody's a minister, right, we can rotate, do it 1 week at a time. I can go fishing and hunting a lot more. See, this is one of the doctrines that people don't really believe. Nobody really believes that. How do I know this? Because I get invited, because no matter where I'm at, they always ask me to pray. Nobody believes that everybody's a minister in that sense. Now, and then when you start to talk about, well, of course, I don't mean everybody's a pastor. I mean everybody, you know, is a servant of Jesus. Well, sure, fine, right? No argument. And that's one of the trickiest things when we start to get into this issue of lay ministry is what do we mean? And what I'm here today to speak against is the practice of saying a doctrine and a practice. The practice is that lay people, people who have not been put into the office of the ministry by the church's regular system of training someone, calling someone, examining someone, and finally placing them in that office, which we usually call ordination, but you can call it whatever you want. But that whole process puts a man in the office of the ministry. Lay ministry, what I mean when I speak against lay ministry, is the practice of saying, that's not important. Someone who has not been put into the ministry can preach, teach, baptize, hear confession, pronounce absolution, and conduct the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. In the Lutheran Church, we've always talked about the possibility of lay emergency baptisms, lay emergency absolutions. We've never talked about lay emergency. Look, an emergency is not something that goes on for weeks and months and years. That might be a difficult situation. It might be hard to fill a pulpit. That's not an emergency. And the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod specifically has simply, for the past 21 years, got itself into a bind by clearly, forthrightly, in black and white, tossing out an entire article of the Augsburg Confession. And it's very troubling.
Let's define some of our terms. The two that we're probably working with here that kind of make the composite, some would say, the oxymoron, mm-hmm. lay minister. How do we define laity?
Mm-hmm.
How do we define ministry or minister, in particular pastoral ministry?
Sure. Lay people are born, ministers or pastors are created. Lay people are Christians. That's just a word for an average, ordinary, baptized child of God is a lay person. To become a pastor, you have to be put into the office of the ministry. Jesus puts his apostles into the office of the ministry officially and sends them out, right? He pulls aside these 12 guys, and then after the resurrection, he breathes on these now 11 guys and commands these 11 guys to go forth preaching, teaching, baptizing, conducting the Lord's Supper, hearing absolution. Jesus doesn't do that for everybody in the church. And that's the basic insight that our confessions get quite right when they say, and this is ironically enough that the article in the Augsburg Confession that's causing Lutherans the most trouble these days is also the shortest. Article 14 says, concerning church government, it's taught that no one should publicly teach, preach, or administer the sacraments without a regular, proper public call. Couldn't be clearer. It was the Lutheran practice from the first days of the Roman bishops refusing to ordain pastors for us. We started to ordain our own pastors, and that's the way it was. There was no such thing as a Lutheran lay minister until 1989. So it's a recent innovation. It's clearly contrary to our confessions and the scriptures, and it's something that we should repent of.
Why did the reformers include that in the Augsburg Confession?
Yeah.
Why was it important for them to establish, to mark out that boundary and say, among us, those who preach and administer the sacraments will do so in the church's regular order as it has always been in right. the church?
Because they were being accused of not doing that. Johannes Eck, in Luther's early career, Eck is his main rival and attacker from the papal party, and in Eck's 404 Theses, where he supposedly gathered 404 statements from Luther and other reformers, and some of these he made up, he got wrong. Well, one of them he said was what Luther was going around saying was there was no need to have clergymen, there was no need to have ministers, there was no need to have pastors because everybody's a minister. So the Lutherans come back in 1530, and when they're called upon to make a confession of their faith, and they deny that. They say very forcefully, no, we don't believe that. Nobody in our churches preaches, teaches, administers the sacraments unless he's put into the office of the ministry.
Okay, with about a minute and a half here, Heath, what is the state of affairs today? You said that Lutheran lay ministers didn't mm-hmm. exist until 1989. That's mm-hmm. not that long ago, 21 years ago, as you say. What is the state of affairs now with the kind of the ongoing course of so-called lay ministry?
Right. It's a bit of a patchwork throughout the Missouri Synod, district by district. This is a very personal issue for me because my home is out in Nebraska. It's where I'm originally from. That's one of the districts where this is very, very problematic. A lot of these district-approved lay ministers, men who have not been to seminary, but more importantly, who have not been put into the office of the ministry, are week in and week out getting up and acting like they have been put into the ministry. And with the approval of the district, but they're not put into the ministry. They're not pastors. Contrast that to here where you and I are privileged to serve in the Southern Illinois district, where we've had excellent leadership from President Miller and now continuing with President Schar. None of that happens in this district because those men agree that this is not what our confessions teach. We are going to hold to what the Bible and the confessions say. And so it's a patchwork. You've got certain districts who are really known for it and certain districts who are known for speaking against it.
So with only about 20 seconds, just because a district approves of the thing or a district president signs off on a layperson preaching, teaching, administering mm-hmm. sacraments does not mean that person should be doing it.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what shall we call it? A confessional sleight of hand that started this entire mess of lay ministry. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues, Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 27th. We're talking about lay ministry. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. You say this all began about officially, a little over 20 years ago, with what I will call kind of confessional sleight of hand. Now you see the confessions, boom, now you don't.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, I'll just read it. At the convention, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Convention in 1989, they met in Wichita, and they passed Resolution 3-05B, and it reads, Lutherans believe, teach, and confess that God has instituted the office of the public ministry, AC5, and that nobody should publicly teach or preach or administer the sacraments in the church without a regular call to serve in this office, AC 14. Therefore, only those who hold the office of the public ministry should exercise distinctive functions of this office. Okay, pause right there. That sounds really good. I don't think I could have written that any better. That sounds airtight. I don't know how you squeeze lay ministry out of that. How do you do it? Well, with one word. However, when no pastor is available, and in the absence of any specific scriptural directives to the contrary, congregations may arrange for the performance of these distinctive functions by qualified individuals, lest God's people be deprived of the opportunity for corporate worship and the celebration of the sacraments. Now you notice, after they said the word however, there's no more quotes from the confessions. There's no more quotes from the Bible. They pit the Bible against the confessions.
How?
Well, the first part, they say, here's what the confessions say. Nobody, we can't do this. Nobody publicly teaches, preaches, administers the sacraments unless he's put into the office of the ministry. And then they say, now, the Bible, you know, there's no specific scriptural directive to the contrary that would prevent congregations from actually doing that. And so that's a very odd thing to come out of a convention of a church body that claims to unconditionally subscribe to the Lutheran confessions. Because
they're essentially saying the confessions disagree with Scripture.
Exactly. What they're saying is they're saying that the confessions outlaw something that the Bible doesn't outlaw. To which I say, I don't see how you can subscribe to the confessions and think that. The great systematic theologian of the mid-20th century, Arthur Carl Peepcorn, wrote this about, you know, our discussion today is about Augsburg Confession Article 14, really. And here's what he says about that. He says, the verbs in AC 14, which are in the Latin and the German, debeat and sol, allow no option. They're the same verbs which describe the indispensable relation of good works to faith in Article 6. They have the force of the modern English must rather than should. And then the word docent, they teach, with which the article begins, along with the location of the article among the doctrinal articles, rather than among the reform or abuse articles, indicates that the thesis of the article is a dogmatic statement. In other words, this is an issue of doctrine. This is an issue of what God's Word says. Did Jesus tell every single Christian that they've got the authority to lead a congregation in word and in prayer and in sacramental action? Did he say that? Or did he pull aside a group of men and specifically train them, place them in an office of the ministry, and then tell the church, lay people and pastors together, to go forward in time, making more pastors as the old ones die off? That's the traditional understanding. That's what the Lutheran confessions teach. I think that's what the Bible teaches. And the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is officially, on paper, in doctrine and practice, out of line with that.
So, in other words, with respect to both the doctrine, because now it is both doctrine and practice, mm-hmm. we're teaching something new,
right.
and we're practicing something new. Those always go together, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
We have departed from the Lutheran confessions when it comes to the lay ministry.
Yeah, and this is just an issue where we need to be honest about that and repent. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has so many blessings. And obviously, I don't think there's a better place to serve, because here I am serving the people of God in this situation. But one blessing we've missed out on is repentance, right? Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has changed its teaching before, but they've never said, "Oh shucks, we got it wrong." You know, I mean, for example, you know, before 1969, Lutheran theologians went around saying it was against the Bible for women to vote in voters' meetings. In 1969, we just said, "No, it's not." But we didn't say, you know, we repent. We're sorry. We got that wrong.
We were wrong before.
Right. We just kind of go on with the new thing. Well, I'm glad to say that there's some really strong confessional, biblical, theological leadership coming from our seminary faculties on just this point. I'll definitely send this to you guys so you can get it up on the website later, because it's the best thing for people to read. And it's this. It's a joint statement from both of the systematics faculties from both Concordia St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. I mean, this is a rare thing. You know, professionals in the church will understand how rare it is for our theological faculties, which are very diverse in many ways, for them to come together and make a joint statement like the systematics faculties did in 2007. And the title of their statement is just "The Office of the Ministry." And I want to read what they say about this lay ministry issue. And what they say is, "Call and ordination are essential for conduct of the ministry. What is the sign of the authority for ministers today? It's their call and ordination, which assures that they act by divine right and on the authority of Christ. This truth makes such ideas as lay ministers invitations for difficulties and troubles to ministers whose authority is doubtful, and to lay persons whose assurance of God's grace may be questioned." They also say, "The confessions never use the truth that the whole church possesses the power of the keys to make the office of the holy ministry unnecessary or merely useful. On the contrary, this truth serves as the basis for the church's right to call, choose, and ordain ministers. The treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope," another of the Lutheran confessions, "does not imagine churches without ordained ministers of some kind, even in emergency situations, or when no one else will call and ordain men for the office. As confessors of the same doctrine, neither should we." This is thunderbolt stuff, where you have the teachers of the church putting out this kind of statement that just says, "Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you're wrong. Here's what the scriptures in the Bible actually say. Our confessions do not imagine churches without ordained ministers."
Just recently, as usually happens en masse in the spring mm-hmm. of the year, a lot of things happen in the spring of the year. Kings go out to war mm-hmm. and seminarians go out from seminaries to populate congregations. And yet this last year we were told that there were not enough calls for all the men of both seminaries. And one of the reasons, and I think even on these airwaves the term was used when we talked about it, that there are congregations out there that are called, I think the term of art was, permanently non-calling congregations.
Right.
Is that imagining churches without pastors or actually having churches without pastors?
You got it. That's exactly what it is. Again, I come from a sparsely populated area. I come from a town of 8,000 people. McCook, Nebraska, AM 1360, KNGN, Kansas, Nebraska, Good News Radio. Hello to everybody out there.
They'll be happy to hear that.
Good, yeah. From my days as an announcer on that station. You know, this town, 8,000 people, that's the biggest town for 75 miles in any direction. Arthur County, Nebraska has 600 people in a county that's 25 miles square, you know, 25 miles on each side. I know what it's like to live in a sparsely populated area. That is not an excuse to throw out the Bible and the confessions. Rather, I mean, it's not like we didn't know about this. The congregations that I currently serve were at one time in the late 1800s, served by circuit riders who didn't serve two parishes like I serve, but who served 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 parishes. It could be done. But instead, The bureaucracy of the Missouri Synod has encouraged these little parishes and out-of-the-way places instead of saying, hey, you know what, guys? What we're going to do is, you know, we've got, in this county, we've got five little churches. We're going to get a pastor who's going to be the pastor of all the Lutherans in this county, and you might only get the sacrament twice a month or once a month, but we're going to make sure you have a pastor. Instead of doing that, what they've told to, you know, my friends and family in Nebraska is, oh, don't worry about it. You don't need a pastor. Just one of the men in the congregation, I say it's okay for him to baptize your babies, conduct the Lord's Supper, and so forth. Interestingly enough, in most places, the state government won't allow these guys to sanctify marriages. So
even the state realizes they're not pastors.
You got it. Well, everybody realizes they're not pastors. I mean, they're not pastors. They're lay ministers. Or sometimes they're called lay deacons. Different districts will use different terms, but everybody knows they're not pastors. They're not on the clergy roster. They've not been called by a congregation to be pastor. They've not been ordained by the whole church, clergy and lay together, to be put into the office of the ministry. So there's no fooling anybody. They're not pastors. So the question is, can you be a biblical church and say pastors are optional?
When we come back, we'll answer that question, and we'll talk with you, our listeners, answer your questions and comments on the lay ministry. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The mention of Susan Boyle's name will bring smiles to a room. The spectacular voice of this plain-looking woman was discovered on the TV program Britain's Got Talent. Her rendition of I Dreamed a Dream on her first CD sold over 9 million copies in just 6 weeks. But Susan wouldn't have dreamed any dreams if her mother had followed doctor's advice to abort her. Once born, they told her mom, it's probably best to accept Susan will never be anything. If you love Susan's voice like I do, it's hard to imagine the world without her God-given talent. But just imagine all the amazing talent in arts and science who were aborted. Blessings from God, man turned away. The author of life has a plan for each and every person conceived. Let's welcome them in love.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking lay ministry. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. Our call-in number live this Wednesday afternoon, October the 27th, 1-877-623-6943. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or let's see, you can leave a question or comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. The in-studio email address, talkback@IssuesETC.org. In Cedar Park, Texas, he's been waiting on the line. Jason, thank you for being patient.
Hello.
What's your question or comment?
Well, my question is I actually served in a small congregation. We had a part-time pastor in a rural community. And so I can certainly see the danger of a lay person serving in the absence of a pastor. However, you know, this particular congregation was using ELCA pastors in lieu of a qualified LCMS pastor, and I actually thought, you know, myself to be actually more qualified than the ELCA pastor who doesn't share our confession. You know, so my question is, what does your guest think about staff ministers in the Wells? What does he think about extreme situations when maybe our country's at war, where we might not have a called pastor? Are we then going to lower what we would consider to be a called pastor because maybe the seminary might not be available?
Hey, great question. First, let's get a difference between seminaries and pastors. I think seminary is great. I had a great time at seminary. I learned a lot in seminary. But friends, seminaries aren't in the Bible.
They don't make pastors.
They don't make pastors.
They train them.
They train them, and that's wonderful. We should have a trained, thoughtful, articulate, educated clergy. That is great. But there is no list in the Bible for, you know, you've got to go to a four-year institution, have an MDiv. The issue is, has a man been put in the office of the ministry? That's what's not optional. You bring up a question about, you know, when they're, what about these tough situations? It's very hard to find a qualified pastor. What about a situation of war? Well, let me tell you a true story about what happened to one of the oldest historic Lutheran churches in the world, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Latvia. During World War II and then under the communist takeover, the Russian invasion and takeover of Latvia, they no more pastors. They said, we can't find any more pastors. Many of the men have been killed. They're on the front. So what they started to do was ordain women. Was that okay? Does the emergency make it okay for us to toss out what the Scripture says about the nature of the ministry? I say no. And they have the Latvian Lutheran Church now has a very brave bishop. He's been a bishop there for, I think, about a decade now. And when he came into his office, he just said, we're done with this. We're going back to the Scriptures. We're repenting. That's the kind of leadership we need in the Missouri Synod. We allowed an emergency to a supposed, a talked-up emergency, which, hey, I lived out in the emergency. It didn't seem that emergency-ish to me. I think we could have handled this problem in other ways. But that's what we need. We need to repent of our little footnote to the Augsburg Confession and just go back to what our confessions teach.
Okay, a question before we go back to our listeners' questions. You say the key thing here is, has the man been put into the office?
Correct.
So let's make this altogether clear. Can a man put himself into the office?
No, sir.
Can he stand up and say, I'm pastor?
Nope. Like Jeremiah, there are the prophets whom I have not sent, right? God condemns that. There's no such thing as a self-called prophet. There's also no such thing as a pastor that can be made by a cabal or by a little clique within the church. Our confessions, when they talk about the church are the clergy and the laity together. So in historic Lutheranism, you cannot become a minister apart from the laity, and you cannot become a minister apart from the clergy. And so what do we have? First, to get into seminary, you've got to be interviewed by your district president. You've got to have the approval of your home pastor. So the clergy first sign off on you and say, he can go to seminary.
That's just a train.
And this is just the beginning. This is just the training. Then you go to the seminary, and during seminary, a certain percentage of guys get kicked out. I think my class started with 144. We graduated with like 112. Some guys don't make the bar for whatever reason. They themselves decide they're asked to leave. But then there's always some point in this where the laity have their say. If no group of actual live lay Christians say, come and be our pastor, then we don't put you in the office of the ministry. We say, hold off.
Here's your degree.
You've graduated from the seminary. Good luck finding a job with that. But, because a bunch of pastors can't go and make a pastor. A bunch of lay people can't go and make a pastor. The church makes a pastor, and the church are lay people and clergy together as the body of Christ, because that is what, I mean, think about what's going on Sunday morning. You have there in church a living picture of God's love for humanity, right? This is why St. Paul says in 1 Timothy, when he's talking about the qualifications for a pastor, he says, this is why it's got to be the husband of one wife, able to teach, able to refute false teaching, who keeps his own family, his own children in submission, because how can you care for the household of God if you can't care for your own family? In other words, what St. Paul is kind of riffing on there is that the pastor stands in the person of Christ, by the command and in the stead of Christ, leading that family of God in that place. And if you are brave enough to say, on your own, well, I'm going to go stand by the command and in the stead of Christ, I do not want to be around you during a thunderstorm, because it is a scary thing to, think about what the book of Hebrews says, obey your leaders, for they serve as those who will have to give an account. If there are people that out there, if there are lay ministers out there listening to this, hey guys, prayerfully consider this, right?
We should say that many men are
serving
these
are
this
devout
capacity.
Men. These and are devout, good guys.
They're doing this because they've been told by district presidents or others.
You got it.
This is okay. You got my approval. Go ahead.
You
and
got
do it.
But that's why I'm completely gentle and understanding. Anytime I get a chance to talk with someone who's serving in this function, walk you through why I think the position you're in is not a position you want to be in, take you through what the scriptures say, what our confessions say, and I would heartily encourage you to rethink the position you're in and look at what our confessions say, look at what the Bible says, take that to your district president and say, hey, guy, I think I need to be called and ordained or I'm going to stop doing this.
David in Canada says, here's a question I have for Pastor Curtis, if there's time. What would be your counsel to a vicar, that is someone serving kind of the internship in the midst of the pastoral training, who is expected by his supervisor to celebrate the Lord's Supper during his vicarage year? One is actually sitting in front of you during my vicarage year. Right. I was expected by everybody, including the authorities, you're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. I dutifully did it. I wish I hadn't, but I did. I was told, you're just a vicar. Right. Do what you're told.
Right. There is good news on that front since your now gray hairs were serving as a vicar. at least now, both seminary faculties technically say you can't do that. Now, I am sad to report that though that's the official position, and that is the position that is right, because again, that vicar has not been placed into the office of the ministry. He's being trained for the office of the ministry. He's kind of between layperson and pastor because he's, you know, being trained. He's kind of this third thing. But the first guy I'd talk to is his supervisor and say, hey, you need to respect what our confessions say. You need to respect this man's conscience. He's not been made a pastor yet. Don't ask him to act like one. Don't ask him to do this most holy action, standing in the person of Christ, because we've not yet done that for him. To that vicar who's being asked for this, I would advise that you try what I tried. Which was I sat down with my supervisor during that first meeting. He said, hey, you know, this is something we've done in the past. What do you think about it? And I said, you know, I would be really uncomfortable with that. And in fact, you're asking me to really break my conscience because I don't think it's right. And if he tells you, well, you're going to have to do it anyway, then I would say call the vicarage supervisor. And then I'd say, call your home pastor. And then I'd say, call me. Or you can cut right to the chase and call me. I'll go to bat for you. I may not be able to do anything. But, I mean, it's crazy that somebody in the church would ask someone training for service in the church to break his conscience because it's not like these guys don't know they're asking them to do something that's against the letter of our confessions.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get to some more of your questions and comments. We're talking about the lay ministry. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We might even be able to squeeze in a phone call or two in the last 10 minutes. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc. It's live Wednesday, October the 27th. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's online editor for the Gottesdienst Journal. Stay tuned. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
We still have a pastor on staff. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the lay ministry, 10 more minutes in this hour of Issues Etc. And then in the second hour, we'll be talking, well, first we'll be doing a sermon review. Pastor Bill Swirla preached a Reformation sermon. We'll review it in the first half hour. And then Greg Kokel will join us for a conversation on the historical reliability of the New Testament. Stephen from Facebook says, is part of the problem confusion over the roles and vocation? First, between lay and ordained. Second, between the various ordained roles of a pastor, deacon, and deaconesses, not to mention the differences over elder and deacon as lay or ordained. Or, do these two confusions flow out of the use or misuse of the term, quote-unquote, ministry? I think much of the confusion comes because we use the same word to mean different things, so what then do we call the service of laymen and women to the church, their fellow Christians, and the wider community? Simply service? Perhaps that's the problem. Some sort of clergy envy. We don't want to be servants. We want to be leaders. And this arises from a confusion over what is actually happening in the divine service and the role of ordained ministers of the church. Personally, I thank God I was not called to the ministry and that I can serve in other ways. Your thoughts on Stephen's questions and comments?
I think the confusion has actually been caused by this practice.
The practice itself.
Yeah, it's been caused by this false doctrine and practice. The false doctrine is pretending that AC 14 isn't a doctrine, that we can toss it out, that it's optional. And then the practice is obviously the lay ministry. I think this is, if we stopped this, there's this intuitive understanding of the right doctrine just rises up. which is, oh, well, he's the pastor. That's what he does. That's his job. That's what we've called him to do. So that's what's caused it. Before I forget, I wanted to say a couple other things. I'm going to send you guys, send Jeff that systematics faculty statement so folks can read that, see the strong theological leadership that's out there in the Missouri Synod telling us to repent of this. I want to note that all three Illinois districts, that's 10% of the Missouri Synod, this past round, all passed resolutions asking the Synod to stop this, to fix it, to get a plan to ordain these men who are serving or get them to stop serving one or the other. And I also wanted to tell an example of what faithful leadership on this might look like from a district president. And that's from our now former district president, Herb Miller. The congregation in East St. Louis was vacant for a time, and it was very hard to find a guy at this particular time. I don't know if we didn't have very many retired pastors around who could serve or who weren't serving elsewhere, but it was very, very hard to find somebody who could go down and lead and conduct the sacrament for these people. In other districts, other district presidents would have assigned a layman to do this, sent a vicar out there to do this, especially so close to the seminary. Why don't we just do that? President Miller changed his life around so that he himself would go down there and serve that vacancy and be the man who'd been put in the office of the ministry to serve those people. That's the kind of leadership we need from district presidents to lead by example, to turn this, to call the Synod to repentance, to turn this around. I wanted to get that into.
Mark in Tennessee emails us. He says, my friend Heath stumbles over the main point. He said that those in Nebraska didn't go to the seminary. The issue of lay ministry is an issue of seminary, not so much of Scripture and the confessions. Want to take care of lay ministers? Ordain them. Have congregations ordain these men. Problem solved, he goes on to say. But the issue with this is not ordination, but rather going to the seminary. I understand his problem with our synod soft-shoeing around the issue, but we have lay ministers because we care about congregations. We want them to be served. We want them to have sermons preached. We want them to be able to take communion. We are doing this out of love, not because we are indifferent to God's word. I think that's important to recognize. We don't want lay ministers. Let's ordain them. Your thoughts?
Preach it, brother.
You agree completely.
Absolutely. I don't necessarily agree with everything you said in the last paragraph, because the implication of what Father Lauterbach said in the last paragraph was that since we're acting out of love, it kind of, well, okay, we'll let this go.
You mean well.
You mean well, right. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. But do you know what hell itself is paved with? This is St. Basil.
What's that?
Priest's skulls. Isn't that a good line?
And gruesome.
Man, that's a good line.
Gruesome.
That's a good line. But no. Mark is right. Yeah, the issue is not seminary. I love the seminary, but you don't even need a seminary to have a church. You do need to find some way to train men so that they're capable of performing the office of the ministry. Seminary is a good way to do that. But the issue is they have not been put into the office of the ministry. So, yeah, that is the solution. Put them into the office of the ministry or tell them to stop. Because as our seminary systematics faculty said, there's also an issue here of doubt. Did you catch that line? They said, lay ministers... this truth makes such ideas as lay ministers invitations for difficulties and troubles to ministers whose authority is doubtful and to lay persons whose assurance of God's grace may be questioned. So is it really loving to send someone a doubtful minister of the gospel, someone of doubtful authority? And that's right where we're at.
Margie in Everett, Washington, via Facebook, says, please tell me how the office of the Holy Ministry contrasts with the priesthood of all believers. Can you give us that in 1 minute?
Absolutely. A priest is one who offers sacrifice. Every Christian is a priest by virtue of their baptism. The sacrifices you offer are your prayers, your thanksgivings, your life of good works. These are the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. That is every Christian's job. Priests are born in baptism. Ministers are called to preach the gospel, baptize, have authority over congregations, be accountable for the souls in their keeping, as it says in Hebrews, conduct the Lord's Supper, and pronounce absolution to sinners. If you have not been called to the ministry, you have not been called to do those things. Because if you have been called to do those things, are you sure you want that? I mean, there's a lot of weight that goes with this, right? Obey your leaders in the faith. They serve as those who will have to give an account on the last day.
Okay, the second last question that I've got for you here, we've got two last questions. John says, why do we tolerate such heretical behavior in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and teaching, we should add there? Why aren't we more courageous to stand up against this heretical practice? When did tolerance replace confession? Without a history lesson, why is this being tolerated by people who know better?
The Missouri Synod has always had great difficulty in facing up to the fact that we're not united in our doctrine. We don't want to have this argument. We don't want to have this argument because what it will expose is that there are many different teachings in the Missouri Synod on the office of the ministry. Some folks are A-okay with this. You can invite them on the show. We could have a little debate. I think it'd be fun. Because they just would have a very different view. They would say this is no problem at all. And I don't know how they get around AC 14. We'd have to invite one of them to talk about it. But that's the reason.
Then finally, how would you respond to someone who says what you're teaching is really kind of this hierarchical, hyper-Euro-Lutheran, pseudo-Catholic view of the ministry?
Well, let's take a look at another vocation, right? There's Bible passages that say, marital relations are to happen between husband and wife, So we might say that marital relations are a proper function of the office of husband. But where the husband is away, however, where there is no husband, where the husband is away, these functions can be filled by some other qualified man. You going to buy that? Give me a break.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Rightly called and ordained, I can assure you. He's online editor for the Gottesdienst Journal. Heath, thank you very much for being our guest.
A fun one today.
We'll post a link to Gottesdienst Journal at our website, issuesetc.org, in addition to the other resources mentioned by Pastor Curtis in the course of time. Just click Listen on Demand, issuesetc.org. In the second hour of the program, we'll start out with our regular Wednesday sermon review. This time, Pastor Bill Swirla preaching on the occasion of the Reformation at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. Our sermon review, then Greg Kokel will join us from Stand to Reason. Bart Ehrman's written a number of books, including Misquoting Jesus. He says you cannot trust the historical reliability of the New Testament. The New Testament may have started out as a kernel of, a mixture of myth and remembrance and anecdotes about Jesus, but then what we have in its finalized form is mostly made up and extrapolated from people's imaginations. That's really what he says about the New Testament, and he claims to have a lot of scholarly heft to back it up. Greg Kokel will respond to those arguments in the second hour of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number for that second hour, live this Wednesday, October the 27th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. It is about certainty, isn't it? It is about the certainty of knowing that when God's man, that is the one he has placed into Christ's office with Christ's authority, deals with you, it is as if Christ is dealing with you himself. That is of vital importance, for therein hangs our certainty, the forgiveness of sins, and ultimately the future of the church. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 6-2-2-3-4. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.